Welcome to Newest, Latest, Best, the quick daily show to keep you in the know with all of the newest information, latest releases, and the very best that games have to offer. I'm Jeff Cannata, and today is Sunday, November 5th, 2017. It's Sunday, so you know what that means. We're talking top five games of all time. I've been doing this for a while now. It's become a Sunday tradition, and I'm really loving it. You guys have been sending in your top five video games of all time. After I finally buckled down and committed myself to a top five games of all time, I challenged you to do the same, and you guys have been coming through with flying colors. The lists I've been getting have been so fun and so interesting, and I've sort of reserved Sunday as our day to talk about some of them. So let's get started. Nick sent this one in. By the way, you can send your lists via the Anchor app. It's so easy to send a call in. They are only a minute long, but Nick was smart. He broke his list up into three parts. So we're going to hear him describe why he made this list and then run down his list. Feel free to do that as well if you like. I love this list, and I love Nick's explanation as to why he selected the games he did.
Hi, Jeff. This is Nick in St. Paul, and I've had a great time over the last month or so listening to all these top five lists, and I've been churning and churning over my mental list of the games I've loved and trying to decide how to whittle them down to that five. Like you said, it really is a challenge, and I keep coming back to a way of sorting them that kind of surprises me, but it makes sense given my history with video games. So I came into the hobby as an Atari 2600 gamer, and my top five is all the moments that just blew me away in terms of technological advances or what technology makes possible, specifically for many of them, in what we can feel, right? The idea of all the math, all the programming really having an effect on me emotionally or an effect on my life, that's an amazing thing. So that's how I'm ordering my top five. So number one, I gotta go with Mario 64. I was the guy who just hung out outside the castle for like half an hour, just marveling at what a 3D video game was and what was gonna be possible going forward. It's a beautiful place to hang out. Gotta love those Mario games for just making you feel good to be there. And man, 3D technology when it started, wow, blew my mind. Number two, The Last of Us. The year that came out, I think it was the best piece of fiction I consumed, and in major part because it was interactive, because I was so invested being those characters and watching their relationship play out. Just an amazing, amazing game. Number three, I'm going to go with Eco, although for my criteria for this list, I think it could be any of the three Team Eco games. Eco's relationships, again, and the beauty of the world and the feeling of being there is just phenomenal. Number four, I gotta go with Journey. It was a transcendent experience the first time I played it, which was all in one night and, you know, right around launch, so nobody knew what they were doing. There was a stranger in the game. We were communicating and discovering it together. And just the beauty of that emotional journey through that game knocked my socks off. The fact that they were using, you know, again, computers, video games, to have this kind of soft, gentle aesthetic, the incredible interaction of the music and the gameplay and the visuals. Oh, amazing. Finally, this is where I'll be really controversial, I'm sure. Farpoint on PSVR. Because it fits the bill with all these other ones, it's an experience that has been unsurpassed so far in putting me in a place and giving me a story, and the kind of interactivity possible in VR is, we're just scratching the surface. Wow.
Awesome stuff, Nick. Thank you so much. A lot to dig into here, but let's start with your criteria for how you built your list. And I think, honestly, a lot of your consideration process is similar to how I built my list. I think when we feel this emotional impact of what video games can be, when there's a new game that comes out that just feels like a paradigm shift and feels like this new realization of what the medium can attain or does something so unique and so so genre pushing, you know, it pushes the entire medium forward. Those have an impact and those feel long lasting and they have ripple effects through the entire industry and all the games that follow. And it's kind of hard not to feel like those are the most important games of all time. And especially if you are sitting there at that epicenter playing it at the time it's released and feeling that newness, feeling that innovation, I definitely have that on my list, and that impacts my list. And I love, Nick, that you made that the centerpiece of how you composed your list. I think it's a very, very cool idea. So let's step into the individual games. And you started with Mario 64, which I think for a lot of younger people that weren't around when that game hit, they don't understand what a big deal it was, right? Because 3D platforming is just taken for granted at this point. It's a thing that exists. But for a long time, people didn't think that Mario games could work in a fully 3D world. There was doubt that the 3D revolution would ever hit platformers, because how do you even do that? It's a 2D medium just by definition. And the fact that Nintendo introduced so many ideas that defined video games ever after. The camera control, the way that a hub world worked in 3D, the way Mario behaved and moved, and the exploration aspect of it. Yes, it's not much to look at now, that game. It did not age well, as many of the early 3D games didn't visually. But it was a revolution at the time, and it certainly, I understand it can belong on anybody's list. It still doesn't stand up to me to Super Mario World, which is the Mario game on my top five list, but I can totally understand anybody considering Mario 64 to just be a gobsmacking event when it happened. The Last of Us, however, is a bit more surprising to me, because I feel like The Last of Us is more a refinement of threads that were already being woven through the Naughty Dog games and really a lot of games that were happening around the time of its release. Yes, that story was impactful. Yes, that ending was certainly incredible. But I didn't feel the game itself did anything really innovative. It was, I think, the culmination of a lot of lessons that Naughty Dog learned in storytelling through the Uncharted games. But I felt like Uncharted, the first Uncharted, was that revelation to me. It was the idea like, oh, you can do a purely cinematic game that rivals Hollywood on consoles. We've achieved a level of technology that makes this kind of storytelling possible in this medium. And yeah, I think The Last of Us told a more sophisticated, subtle, gripping, emotional story than any of the Uncharted games, but I feel like it was more an iteration on something that was already revolutionary than it was revolutionary in and of itself. And I think this is the first time anybody's list that we've talked about has included Ico, or Shadow of the Colossus for that matter, and you mentioned that it could have been any of those Team Ico games. I've often gotten into the debate with friends about which game is better, Ico or Shadow of the Colossus, and I don't even know where I come down. They're both masterpieces as far as I'm concerned. And I think The Last Guardian is not quite on that level, but darn close. It's a game that I adored even despite its many flaws. I love that Ico's on your list. I think it is a masterpiece and a beautiful piece of art. But again, if you had to tell me if I could only play one game, Ico or Shadow of the Colossus, I would be hard-pressed to decide between those two. I think they're both essential. Journey is a really interesting addition to your list as well. A beautiful game, subtle and gorgeous, and doing something that games really hadn't done up to that point. Really representative of an entire movement in the indie space of dealing with video games in a different way. Not making them about challenge, but making them experiential. It's a feeling that the game is trying to convey. And this idea of pairing you up with strangers where you aren't really even sure if that's a real person or not, no way to communicate. There was something special and magical about the way Journey engaged with its audience, the way it engaged with the player. Certainly a beautiful, beautiful game. Maybe a bit too slight for me to include it on my top five, but I love that you did. Now, I guess the big bombshell, Farpoint making it onto your list. Now, you're not going to get any argument from me that VR is a transcendent technology. It's the next level. It's a paradigm shift as far as I'm concerned. Not a gimmick. It's the future. And I agree with you that Farpoint is a great example of it. I do not think it's the best example. In fact, I have two words for you. Lone Echo. You need to play Lone Echo. If you want story, if you want something that can only be accomplished in VR, if you want the feeling of being in the future, play Lone Echo. I know it's not available on PSVR and maybe never will be, but if you can get your hands on an Oculus and some touch controllers, I think you will remove Farpoint from your list and add Lone Echo. In fact, there's probably three or four games I'd put on my list before Farpoint. But Lone Echo is at the top of that list. I think Lone Echo is the high watermark for all VR at this point. It is an extraordinary experience. Now we'll move from that very wide-ranging list to one that's very specific and focused. This one comes from Video Game Fury, and it really could be his top five role-playing games of all time, but it's his top five games of all time.
Hey, Jeff, just wanted to give my top five games of all time for you. Give this a lot of thoughts. I grew up loving role-playing games in my youth. It really helped me reveal the storytelling potential of games that go beyond Mario and a lot of platformers that the old system used to do. So for me, the top five goes Final Fantasy 3 or 6 on Super Nintendo, Secret of Mana goes fourth for me, Final Fantasy 4, I believe it's on Super Nintendo 2. Witcher 3 is second for me. Witcher 3 is just the high bar for me right now, just in terms of storytelling, presentation, and just really filling that world with plenty of things to do. It hit every inch of everything I want. The reason it's not number one, Chrono Trigger. That game hit everything for me. Emotional heartbeats, great story, love the premise. It's just such a great game to play.
Good stuff, man. Clearly you love role-playing games. I do, too. Some classics on there. Secret of Mana, Chrono Trigger. No one's going to argue with you. A couple of Final Fantasies peppered in there as well. All the Final Fantasies kind of run together in my head, except for a few standouts. But, yeah, clearly a deep, deep love of that Super NES-era Japanese-style role-playing game from you. And I certainly can't argue with that. Good stuff there. Let's talk a little bit about The Witcher 3. I love The Witcher 3. It's an amazing game. I do think there are games that have taken what The Witcher 3 laid down and done it better. I think that Horizon Zero Dawn did The Witcher 3 better than The Witcher 3. And I'm tempted to say, although I'm still too early, I'm tempted to say that Assassin's Creed Origins is doing The Witcher 3 better than The Witcher 3. I know that's heresy, but I actually prefer The Witcher 2 to The Witcher 3. I know it's hard to say. The Witcher 3 is gorgeous and amazing and has a huge, awesome world with incredible storytelling. But there's something about it. Maybe it's so how dreary everything is and how much I dislike the voice acting from Geralt of Rivia. Witcher 2, for some reason, was the one that really got me more than this one. And I think maybe it's a little more focused. I don't know. I actually think I prefer Witcher 2 to Witcher 3. But again, great lists. We're going to keep this going through, for the next couple of weeks. And then we'll probably put it on hold and just do best games of 2017, which is its own difficult thing. And we'll try to get some of your feedback on best games of just 2017. Maybe we'll limit that to just three, make it really hard. And then we'll do that through the end of the year and then come back to top five games of all time because you guys are sending in those great lists. Keep them coming. I love hearing it.